There must be sex among you. Sex. Lots of sex. Yes, must be. Lots of sex and many sex. Much sex. That's right. All I ever talk about is sex. That's right. S-E-C-T-S. Sex. There must be sex. And lots of them. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. I left off yesterday quite upset that I didn't get to this part of the scripture, which is very telling. It explains a lot about what's happening in organized religion today. Speaking of sex, I know, I have sex on the brain today. S-E-C-T-S. 1 Corinthians 11, 19. Let's start with 18. For first indeed, at your coming together in the ecclesia, I'm hearing of schisms. Now, some might say schisms. I looked this up. That's a dual pronunciation. You can either say schisms or schisms. I used to like to say schisms, but I'm now thinking schisms might be better. Anyway, Paul says he's hearing about these things. In hearing among you, the Corinthians, and some part I am believing. Now listen to this. For it must be that there are sects also among you, that those who are qualified may be becoming apparent among you. There must be these sects, these schisms, these separations, these departures from truth. There must be these among you. Why? So that those who are qualified may be becoming apparent. It's all about contrast. And God is gracious enough to set up the contrast of those who are of, you know, wooden, earthenware, the unqualified in the church, among us, that those that are apparent, the gold, you know, the silver, the precious stones, those who are workers, those who correctly cut the word of truth may be made apparent because they show up brightly against this dross, against those who split, those who are part of the schisms. And I want to look up this word schism. In the Greek, it's schisma. That's the Greek word. And the English elements are split effect. Now, this was used, the same word was used in Matthew 9:16, speaking about a rent in a garment. Jesus, with the parable, now not one is patching a patch of unshrunk shred on an old cloak, for the patch which fills it is lifting some from the cloak itself, and the rent is becoming worse. Rent. That word rent here is the same word translated schism in 1 Corinthians 11, 18, the rent, the schism, it's a tear. You're tearing the body of Christ apart, and some are becoming factious, and they're jumping onto these bandwagons, these trains that are departures from the truth. For instance, our old friends Hymenaeus and Philetus, who say the resurrection has already occurred, that's a schism, and it caused disruption, and yet it was meant to be. There must be these kinds of things, that those who are apparent, that those who pay attention to words and laws of language may be becoming apparent. Now, I told you yesterday that the church is wrong by design. God purposely screwed it up a little bit. He just made it screwy enough that if you blink, you'll go off onto some rabbit trail and you'll start to form your own little sect, your own schism, and it'll depart from the truth. For instance, Hymenaeus and Philetus, they swerve as to the truth, teaching that the resurrection has already occurred, subverting the faith of some. Now, this is a subversion of faith. Error will always subvert your faith. There's some major error and there's some minor error. Misplacing the resurrection, or worse yet, denying the resurrection, as some who claim Christ do, that is a serious departure. And these things must be, and God provides for them to be, because again, he balances his word so finely that if you don't work, if you blink, if you go through it quickly and don't look at it critically, you are going to go off on a rabbit trail and you're going to think you're right. And you're going to condemn your brethren. You're going to condemn other people. And actually, you're the one that's wrong. But when you have numbers on your side, there's hardly any way in hell, unless you really have a conviction, that anybody's going to convince you you're wrong. Because you're going to look around you and say, well, how can so many people be wrong, Martin? How can so many people be wrong about eternal torment? How can so many people be wrong that when you die, you go to be with Jesus immediately? There are many people on our side. Well, these schisms and these sects, these are loaded with people. These sects become very popular. Paul calls it tickling the hearing. And these teachers teach what tickles people's hearing. Who doesn't want to think that the dead are alive, that you don't really die? Death is scary. So that teaching takes hold, gets traction, and lots of people believe it. Lots of people believe eternal torment because it delights them. On that note, I want to go to 2 Thessalonians 2:9. I've been here before many times, but when I tell you something as radical as I told you yesterday, that the church is flawed by design, and it's the popular doctrines are there for the taking because God wants there to be sex. He wants there to be departures so that those who are a parent or that those who are qualified may be becoming a parent. I always go to this verse, and you can't be reminded of this verse enough. Speaking of the man of lawlessness, verse 9, 2 Thessalonians 2, whose presence is in accord with the operation of Satan. Now, what we're about to read here is a description of the operation of Satan. With all power and signs and false miracles. We hear a lot about miracles today, especially in the Pentecostal church. That's the operation of Satan today, because miracles are out of timing with God's program. And with every seduction of injustice among those who are perishing. Now, who's perishing? Those who do not, verse 10, because they do not receive the love of the truth for their salvation. They're not saved, and they're perishing. We're saying the same thing there. Now, as you know, this is aeonian perishing, and they lose aeonian salvation. Why? Again, because they do not receive the love of the truth. Well, how do we know that they don't love the truth? Verse 11, therefore, God will be sending them an operation of deception for them to believe the falsehood. This is a parallel verse with 1 Corinthians 11:19. God does this. This is the equivalent of Paul saying there must be sects among you. There must be sectarianism. There must be those who sequester themselves into Baptist camps, and who sequester themselves into Catholic camps, and who sequester themselves into Lutheran and Pentecostal and all these different sectarian organizations because they do not receive the love of the truth. Because Paul, throughout Scripture, especially in 1 Corinthians, hates sectarianism. How is it that you say, you're of Apollos, you're of Paul? No, we are part of the body of Christ, and this sectarianism proves that people have gotten off course, and each sect has its own demonic head. Each sect has its own system of beliefs, which will be found in every case to be opposed to the truth, because the error is very seductive. They did not receive the love of the truth for their salvation. Therefore, God will be sending them an operation of deception. This is the false church, for them to believe the falsehood. Why? Same reason as in 1 Corinthians 11:19, that all may be judged who do not believe the truth, but delight in injustice. We are going to see who believes the truth and who does not believe the truth. Eternal torment is not the truth. There are going to be many people, Christians, who think they're saved, and they're going to be standing one day at the great white throne. We were just talking about the snatching away the other night here, and we were saying that very few people are in the snatching away because very few people embrace Paul's gospel. I've been all through that with you about what makes a person a believer, what the elements of Paul's gospel are. And I'm convinced that 10 years after the snatching away, Christianity is still going to be looking for it. They're still going to be waiting for it because they think they're the people. And my gosh, if we haven't been snatched away, then nobody. Well, that's what the Pharisees of Jesus' day thought. If we can't spot the Messiah, nobody can. And yet they missed him by 100 miles, and they're still missing him today. The mainstream church is today missing Paul, and therefore missing the voice of God today. So back to these people at the great white throne. They're going to be standing at the great white throne, and they're going to say, when did we not love the truth? And God will say, run the tape. And they're going to see their life, and they're going to see you or me or another believer that came into their life for maybe 5 minutes and brought them the truth of Paul's gospel, the truth of grace, the truth of the saving power of Christ, and they hated it. They hated it through us. God is speaking through us today, 2 Corinthians 5:19. As of God speaking through us, be conciliated to God. That's our message. People hate it. These same people will be standing at the great white throne having missed aeonian life, and God will say, roll the tape, and they will see their 5 minutes with us, and they will see that they indeed did hear the truth in their lifetime. They rejected it. They did not believe the truth. Why? Because they delighted in injustice. And they will say, well, God, you yourself sent the deception. You made the deception so attractive. You made my church so that I just fell into it. And God said, I did that to show you that you really believe the falsehood, that you're prone to believe the falsehood. This is to expose you to your own heart. And the judgment at the great white throne will be to expose these people to their own heart. They will see in that day what they were. They were false believers. They had a form of devoutness but denied the power. These are those who will say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? He'll say, I never knew you. Why? Because they never knew him. Why? Verse 12, 2 Thessalonians 2, they delight in injustice. The word delight is the Greek word eudokio. The elements are well seem. It seems well. The injustice in the Christian world, the injustices that prevail in the Christian world are readily believed. And the chief injustice I can think of this afternoon is the injustice of eternal torment. The injustice of sending people who have never heard of Jesus Christ to an eternity of separation from him. Not just separation, but torture. Conscious torment forever and ever. In spite of the fact that a Savior came to save them. How is this for injustice that a human being born into sin by no choice of his own, because the creation was subjected to vanity not willingly, Romans 8:20. A few short years of misery, spiked with death, spiked with sin, and for some reason they couldn't find God. Why couldn't they? Because God's locked up altogether in stubbornness. And you hear this verse in the Christian church. And yet the God who is locked up altogether in stubbornness are going to send the stubborn to hell for eternity. This is one who supposedly saves people from sin as long as they stop sinning long enough to believe in him. That's injustice. But people love the injustice. Or to use Paul's word, they delight in injustice. Eudokio, that's the Greek word, well seem. It seems well to them. The definition in the Concordant Dictionary is to have a favorable opinion. We hear eternal torment from the pulpit. And the congregants, they have a favorable opinion of it. That seems well to them. They delight in it. They're delighting in injustice. This word was translated in the King James Version one time, think good. They think good of it, to use some poor grammar there. But I wouldn't put poor grammar past people who believe that the love of God could include eternally tormenting your family, friends, loved ones. The King James also said, it pleaseth. Translated Eudokia one time, it pleaseth. Those to whom eternal torment pleaseth, it pleaseth them that God would take eternal vengeance on their enemies. This is evidence of the presence of Satan. God has done this. God has twisted this. Remember, you can find the truth by looking up these words in your concordance. You can find out by looking in a concordance that the Greek word translated everlasting, as in everlasting punishment, is really the word aeonian. You can find that out. You don't have to be a genius because I found it out. Somebody pointed it to me. The tools are there if you love the truth. But if you delight in injustice instead of the truth, God is going to make sure that you have an operation of deception to fall into. He's going to make sure you have a vat of candy that you can swim in and feel good. He's going to make sure you have a religion, because he is going to show you at the great white throne that you really delighted in injustice. You really didn't love the truth after all. Then God's going to roll the tape, and you're going to see the 5 minutes you had with a believer but you hated the truth, you rejected them, and you shut the door in their face. What's left for we who are bringing you this truth? We shake the dust off of our feet and we move on.